All I saw was the pizza. Look at me. Okay? So at the end of the day, 10-0.
Michael, there is a very big difference between these two pizza places, both in quality of ingredients and in overall taste. Which one did you order from?
Pizza by Alfredo.
Yeah. So-
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. A lot to get into. John Merritt, Dave Gettleman, Odell Beckham Jr., and everyone's favorite, Pat Leonard. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, y'all know the drill. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, we're everywhere. Smash that subscribe button. We got many episodes leading up to the draft, so get subscribed for that weekly content. And you know the drill, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Guys, come on. If you're not following me, if you're not following Weiss, what are you waiting for? I spent half the day posting memes of me, like, shitting on Pat Leonard. It's a good time. Join in. Follow the fun. All right. Weiss, how are you?
Ethan, how are you, brother?
I've been better.
it's been a fun 24 hours. Pretty quiet, wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. I think the appropriate way to start this off...
is at the top.
Is at the top. Now, before we do this, there's been a very subtle reference that I've been making in a few tweets and over the last couple weeks as it pertains to the New York Giants owner, John Mara. And that reference is from Seinfeld. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar. I'm sure a good amount are. The reference is tuna on toast. Now, this is from the Costanza method, where George is sitting in the coffee shop and says, "I've done everything wrong my entire life. Every instinct I've ever had is wrong." So Jerry goes to him, "If every instinct you've ever had is wrong, then the opposite has to be correct." And instead of going on and getting his normal order, which was tuna on toast, he got chicken salad and a cup of tea and then asked out a very hot girl who was at the diner. John Mara needs to stop ordering tuna on toast. John Mara needs to stop putting his foot in his fucking mouth when it comes to talking about this franchise, because I don't think this guy has said something that hasn't resulted in a headline in like 2 years. Because now, over, you know, we'll recap the saga. But as it pertains to the last 24 hours, it seems sort of ironic that John Mara is now annoyed at all the questions he's getting about Odell Beckham Jr., when in fact it was two statements of his that set off this whole thing to begin with. So let's start at the top, Weiss.
Yeah.
The original quotes. Mm-hmm. Now let me pull them up. John Mara said, Odell Beckham Jr., quote, knows what's expected of him in order to receive a long-term extension. How does that video affect the process? It wasn't helpful, Mara said. Also said, contracts get done when they're supposed to get done. He followed that up by saying, he's disappointed in Odell's behavior. Mara would not answer definitively when asked if Odell will be on the roster this season. So Weiss, John Mara would not definitively say whether the team's best player would be on the roster at the start of the season. What an asshole. And this set off, I'll call it a series of unfortunate tweets and columns by our good friend of the program, Pat Leonard. And we'll get into Pat Leonard in a little bit. Over, could the Giants trade Odell? Will they trade Odell? You know that the Rams are interested in Odell Weiss and all these blogs and blogs that don't fucking matter, because at the end of the day, Dave Gettleman is in the early stages of working on a contract extension with Odell Beckham Jr. Steve Tisch came out and said he didn't care about the video. Dave Gettleman, all he saw was pizza. You know what? No shit. If someone calls the Giants, they're gonna listen. Every team is going to at least listen. There is no offer out there that is going to satisfy whatever Odell Beckham's trade value truly is. They will not find an adequate trade partner unless this team is willing to mortgage their future and then some to acquire Odell.
They're not getting a Herschel Walker type deal.
They're not.
Those days are over.
And the trade proposals that are being thrown out by sites that used to have credibility, ESPN, Rashad Perryman and the 16th overall pick, are you shitting me? I mean, some of these trade proposals had me laughing out loud today. The New York Giants are not trading Odell Beckham Jr.
Do you know what? Do you know the trade proposals? And I'll let you, the trade proposals were basically the team's either failing wide receiver on a terrible contract and a first round pick for Odell. And it's like, how does that make the Giants better?
It doesn't. And it's so ridiculous. And it boils down to, you know, people say he's a headache. They don't want to commit this much money to a wide receiver. And by the way, can we talk about this argument that elite receivers don't win championships? I mean, it is quite possibly the most asinine argument you could have in regards to whether or not the Giants should extend Odell. If you look, and I tweeted about this a few days ago, look at the Giants teams over the last few years. Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, second and 12th in receiving yards the years that they won the Super Bowl. Plaxico Burress, a key part of that team. You look at some of the other receivers. Randy Moss made it to the Super Bowl, obviously didn't win. You look at some of the Colts receivers. The fact of the matter is,
Julio Jones made spectacular play after spectacular play in the Super Bowl that should have won the Falcons the game.
And you know what's the most like ridiculous part is? People claiming that Odell is injury prone, yet failed to mention that Julio Jones fails to stay on the field for 16 games a year. Now, the fact of the matter is, elite receivers are rare. Two teams make it to the Super Bowl every year. Only one team wins. The odds that that team has an elite receiver is by nature going to be a very, very low percentage. That people are insinuating that if you have an elite receiver, that it somehow hurts your chances of getting to the Super Bowl.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
It is the most preposterous argument I've ever heard. Now, Weiss, we'll get into the draft talk. You know how the Giants can make Odell's future cap hit irrelevant? If they take a quarterback second overall. Because when you have a good quarterback on a rookie deal, Rams, Eagles, it becomes that much easier to spend and build around them. So at the end of the day, this all connects. John Mara needs to shut his mouth. Pat Leonard needs to stop writing. Odell needs to become a Giant long term, and everyone will live happily ever after.
Yeah. Here's my thing on it. Well, I don't have much issue with John Mara, the owner, voicing some disappointment in Odell because of the video.
Let me clarify, because the statement is twofold, right? This is the Dan Duggan tweet. John Mara said he is disappointed in Odell's behavior. Of course he is. It's the second part. When John Mara would not answer definitively when asked if Odell will be on the roster this season. That is what pisses me off.
Yeah, and you know what that is? That opens the door for hypotheticals.
Yep.
And when you start creating hypotheticals, that leads to
Pat Leonard rumors, Collins.
Yeah, rumors, you know, nonsense trade proposals, people saying they're shopping him. I mean, listen, now John Mara said, we're not shopping him. He said that, and that's something that
you got to
take into account. But when you open that door of, you know, I can't guarantee anything, you know, I can't guarantee nobody's roster spot. I mean, of course, you know, everybody knows that. Everyone knows if somebody comes to John Mara and says, I'll give you 4 first-round picks for any player, it's something that they're going to consider. People talk. That happens all around. I'm sure there's – you don't think anybody has called the Packers for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You don't think anyone has ever called – John Lynch admitted he called the Patriots for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. And I'm sure people have called John Mara about Odell before. But when you play that hypothetical game and you say, well, I can't guarantee this, what that does is that opens up speculation, that creates a distraction, and that's exactly what it did. It put the general manager in a tough spot. It put the head coach in a tough spot.
The first year head coach.
Yeah, and what you do is you start making people answer questions because you left this door open, and it eventually leads to what we saw over the past 28 to 48 hours. Do I think it's a guarantee that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to get a long-term deal with the Giants? To be honest, no. There is no guarantee in that. But do I think the likelihood is that he will be a Giant for the rest of his career? Hell yeah, I think that's more likely.
Now, let me chime in with two things here.
Yeah.
For one, the only reason a long-term extension would not get done in this offseason is if there's just some giant roadblock, but the Giants can control Odell for the next 3 seasons. Why would they get rid of a generational talent like that when they're in the driver's seat here?
And you're not going to get the return that you think or these fans think.
And real quick, the second point is the most ironic part of this entire saga is that all these angry old white people on Twitter, and apparently Pat Leonard, say that Odell is such a distraction, his production isn't worth the headache, which, one, yes, it is. And two, if you're arguing that Odell is a distraction, look in the mirror, John Mara. You just caused one of the biggest distractions of the Giants' offseason by refusing to clarify whether or not your best player would be on the roster opening day.
If you look at the last three, maybe even four distractions, right? Quote unquote distractions, sure, that have happened. Three of them have been surrounded by the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to last year, right? Let's start with the Eli benching.
Yep.
He signed off on it.
It was, and then backpedaled when he realized how poor of an idea it was.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a good plan. It was a bogus plan. Yep. They approached the quarterback and said, well, you'll play for a half. I mean, it was a bogus plan. Yep. We don't need to sit here and discuss it, right?
Yep.
He then allowed the head coach and the GM that he fired, after saying that he wasn't going to fire him during the middle of the season. By the way, another distraction.
Mm-hmm.
They bench him for Geno Smith. You guys know what happened. The next distraction was the whole, we're not firing him, then they do fire him. Then now with this, it's like,
go back even 2 years and we have the Josh Brown
stuff. And you have the Josh Brown stuff. Yes, we can go back and we can see it. And then it's almost as if like this guy just needs to stop talking. I mean, I understand. I feel like, I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like John Mara has this check ready signed and wants to give it to Odell. And all he wants from Odell is to not have to answer questions about him. Yeah. I legitimately think that. I think he wants to pay him. And I think he has, listen.
He said it before this offseason started. He said he wants to make Odell a Giant long term.
And we have to be fair about it. I think, look, as an owner, when you're making that commitment, you can't have videos like that popping up. You know, you can handle like the whole kicking that thing. Like, people bring that up, but like, do people really understand why he made that whole joke about the kicking net? It's because everybody made fun of him because he hit his helmet off the kicking net and the kicking net hit him back. So everyone was making fun of him. So Odell jumped in on the fun and started making fun of himself too.
Yeah.
And everyone's, people seem to turn that against him. Like, it's just so weird to me how this guy is just so scrutinized at every level. My point is this organization has put up with a lot worse than Odell.
Let's get into it.
And his talent will outweighs the return that they will get if they try to trade him.
Has there ever been a locker room complaint about Odell?
Nope.
There you go.
Has there ever been a player or any locker room issues that involved Odell where he gets mad at another teammate?
Nope.
And publicly airs it on a radio show?
Mm-mm.
No. I love Landon Collins. But let's play the hypothetical game, since it's been played so many times. If Odell had gone on, you know, ESPN radio or any other radio station and said and hinted, forget about blatantly saying it, but hinted that another wide receiver in that wide receiver room was a quote unquote cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Could you imagine? Nope. They'd still be talking about it.
Absolutely.
But yet people are, no, we got to extend Collins. We got to extend Collins. Like, stop. Don't play this double standard thing. A distraction doesn't matter who caused it. But it was a ridiculous thing. I think Gettleman, I don't mind what he said. He took it head on, said, I'm not going to answer negotiations and blah, blah, blah. You know, I just think, look, he was asked, do you want Odell to be a Giant in 2018? I would have just said yes. Again, when you say next question, you leave that question unanswered for other people in the media to answer it for you.
Yep.
And again, distraction. So I thought Shermer said the right things. You know, Pat Shermer actually met with Odell.
Gettleman said California. The right things today too. Credit to him.
Yeah, he said, you know, for the most part, said the right things. Said some funny things too. Yep. But
as you heard in the intro.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, with John Mara, man, I actually think Steve Tisch was the best out of all of them.
Me too. Yeah, credit to TMZ Steve.
I mean, that was funny. The one funny thing you mentioned was, like you said, the Giants have one owner, obviously John Mara, who wants to shoot, you know, Odell into the sun.
Yep.
for that
and
video.
You're the one who wishes he was in the video.
Who probably wishes he was in the video part with Odell. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we're basically back where we started, where the likelihood is still that an extension gets done and probably gets done sometime this season. So,
your mouth to God's ears.
I don't see a scenario where the Giants are better off. I mean, unless Odell goes out and he gets arrested or there's another video like this, or I just don't see how anything that he's done outweighs him not getting the contract.
Yeah.
And we got to look at it there was a report that also said, well, you know, Odell won't get on the field unless he gets a contract. And here's where we got to talk about this for a second, because here's where the resentment will grow from fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're talking about the business side of it, right? Odell's coming off an injury. And as a fan, you're looking at it like, wait, if I'm going to pay you, I got to make sure that you're still that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fine way to look at it if you're a fan, right? But as a player, I mean, Odell, you know, whether it's fair to have this discussion or not, but I mean, Odell's got to look out for his future. He's got to have that insurance being that guaranteed money, that long-term contract before he gets on the field. So I support that. I support a player looking out for his best interest, because this is the business side of it. There's two sides of it. A team can get out of a contract with the player anytime they want. The Giants just got out of a contract right now. We'll talk about that player too later on the show. So there's two sides of this business thing. And I think it's so confusing to me that fans always take the side of the billionaire owner, the team who can easily, you know, sort of cut the player anytime they want. But when the player is there trying to get his, it's like, well, you're the bad guy. You're, you know.
Well, we have this discussion, like, pretty much we had it last offseason too. You can't fault the player for trying to get their own. It's a business. No. Injuries happen all the time. And if anything, like, listen, I just said that the, you know, the Giants have the control over the next 3 years. And yeah, of course, that's true, because they have his fifth year. They can franchise tag him. They can do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, that's from like a financial perspective. If you look about it from a production perspective, look at where this offense was last year without Odell.
Yes.
He single-handedly won them. He won them, what, three games on game-winning touchdowns in 2016. And that doesn't include the games that he just balled the fuck out where they wouldn't have won if he wasn't even on the field. And you saw what happened, right? The Giants' offense was the same in 2016 as it was in 2017, right? Teams knew what they were going to do towards the end of 2016. The difference was Odell is unstoppable. You get the ball in this guy's hands, it doesn't matter if they know what you're going to do. He is going to ball the fuck out. And that's why you need a player like him.
And then, you know, we can talk about his production. I mean, that speaks for itself. We can talk about who the Giants were. And I always say this, like I brought it up many times on this show, and I brought it up on Twitter the other day. People say, well, they haven't won anything with them. Well, yeah, but that's not an indictment on him.
It's an indictment. The fact that you weren't able to, and I know where you're going to go with this, and listen, that's how in sync we are. I'm going to finish this for you. It's an indictment on the general manager and the owner and the coach of not being able to win around a generational talent on their rookie contract.
It's like, it doesn't make any, like, I don't understand how people say, well, we haven't won anything with him. Well, yeah, because your roster has not been good. What do you want him to do? I mean, we sit up here and we make excuses for Eli Manning and we say, well, he didn't have an offensive line. Well, those deficiencies that, you know, limited what Eli could do with the ball affected the receivers too.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like, well, you know, the receivers were, you know, given more time to get open than Eli Manning was to get rid of the ball. Like, no, that's not, you know, a weak offensive line, yes, affects the quarterback, obviously, but it affects the whole offense because it doesn't allow the receivers enough time to get open and doesn't allow the running back to, you know, gain yards. It plays a role on everything. You know, but this notion that, well, because we haven't won with him, we should get rid of him because that'll help us win without him. Like, it won't. You know, it's not to
dwell on the whole double standard thing, but definitely to dwell on the double standard thing. Look at Pittsburgh. They haven't won shit with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell's been suspended twice for drug related charges. He's hurt the team on the field, which Odell has not. Okay. And he's just as much of a diva as Odell is. And he does it at a position that's way less of a premium than an elite wide receiver is. So I'm just sick and tired of it, man. Just extend this guy, get it over with, and let's ball out the next few years.
I hate a couple of things that people throw. I hate the term diva wide receiver. How was the standard of a wide receiver, like the way he should act, how is that different than a quarterback or a defensive lineman or offensive lineman? Like when an offensive lineman is on the sideline shouting, trying to, you know, angry about something, do we label him as like a diva offensive lineman?
No, the label gets applied to wide receivers.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. Like everyone says, oh, he's yelling on the sideline, he's a me player, that's T.O. I mean, what? Yeah. I mean, what do you even, like, how does that even make sense? Like people just say the dumbest stuff. It boggles my mind sometimes, the stuff I hear. And when it comes to wide receivers, like it's just, well, you don't need a top tier. I mean, yes, you need playmakers. Whether it's a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, you need a playmaker. Teams that won the Super Bowl, they had playmakers. Alshon Jeffrey was a playmaker. Maybe he wasn't a top 10 wide receiver, you know, coming into the season, but shit, he played like a top 10 wide receiver in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. I mean, look at those catches he made. Look at the game he had. Gronk. I mean, Gronk is one of the probably the greatest tight end we've ever seen. He's a playmaker. I just don't understand that. Well, you can win with a top 10 player at his position, but when he's top 5, no, we can't win with him.
Yeah,
like that doesn't make any sense. Like,
yep, you're preaching to the choir.
I can win with Alshon Jeffrey as my wide receiver, but Odell, no, I can't win with him. What? What the hell are you even talking about?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
It's crazy, man. Like, oh my God.
All right. Next up on the list, what would it cost to trade for OBJ? It's not going to happen, but let's talk price.
For me, the price would have to start at 2 first-round picks. Like if Cleveland,
it would have to start higher for me. And the only exception would be if like the team was absolute garbage and you could envision that being a top 10 pick, both of them.
Well, let me ask you, if Cleveland says we'll give you 1 and 4, you have to like seriously.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Because then, I mean, you have to. Now, they would never do that.
No, because – and just to clarify, that's an unprecedented deal. A team having three of the first 4 picks in a draft is never going to happen.
And rarely have we ever seen a team have the assets like Cleveland does in this draft where they have the number 1 and the number 4 overall pick. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember any team ever in a draft – you know, having the 1 and the 4 going into it.
Sure.
Like, I've never seen that. I can't remember the last time we've ever had that. So if they were to call, which they won't, and say, well, we'll give you 1 and 4, give us Odell, then we'll be like, well, let's discuss this because, you have the 1 and the 4. You get essentially the 1, 2, and the 4, 3 top 5 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to talk about it, and you probably do make that trade.
But again, that's never going to happen. So that's how unrealistic a trade scenario is.
You will get a first-round pick, and you could get a player. And that's not enough for me. Because to me, what Odell brings to the table, it's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. It outweighs what I can get with another first-round pick.
That's the thing. It's a known entity versus a what-if.
And that's why I think when people talk about what his salary is, like you talked about it, Odell has masked so much of this team's deficiencies and had made us all believe that, you know, even though our offensive line sucks and we have Bobby Hart and Ereck Flowers as our tackles, we still have a chance to not just make the playoffs, but win a Super Bowl.
Because let's keep it 100. We both were fooled by 2016.
I was just about to say that, and including you and I.
Yeah.
Both thought that this team was a Super Bowl caliber team despite having, you know, a questionable running game, despite having a bad offensive line. Why? because we had 13, because we knew he could hide a lot of our issues.
And then he goes down with injury and you see what happens.
And you go, yeah. And the year before that, same offense, same quarterback, pretty much the same offensive line. You know, the only difference was Brandon Marshall and Victor Cruz. I mean, if you want to say that's a difference.
And no, listen, the 2016 difference was the defense performed way above their level. They went from bottom of the league to top three, which is unheard of. And then, yeah, you know what? They regressed in 2017. And then they suffered some injuries. It happens.
Absolutely, yeah. In terms of the offense, where, I mean, Evan Engram came into the mix in 2017, but, I mean, not a lot was different when Odell went down. I mean, when Odell was there, he made that offense look, you know, it was still below average, but when you look at the plays he made and you look at the times, you know, the games he won for us single-handedly, I mean, he carried that team to the playoffs. We're not going to Green Bay without Odell. It's just, it's not happening. You can keep your top 10 defense, top 5 defense. You can have all that. But there were games where they were down and they needed a play, and Odell made it.
They went 11-5, and there were, what, 3 or 4 games where they didn't score an offensive touchdown?
Yeah.
You imagine if they don't have Odell?
And how many games did they only score 1 touchdown?
Yeah.
Right off the top of my head, I believe the Dallas game was one. I think in the Rams game in London, did they not have a defensive touchdown, or was it 2 offensive scores? I know they won that game like 17-10 or something.
Yeah.
But I have to go back and look.
Dude, my point is that offense was that they had 4 games where they didn't score an offensive touchdown. Odell still finished the year with 1,367 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns.
In that offense.
Yeah. Bananas. And a lot.
It was slants.
Yeah, 80-yard slants to the house.
I mean, that Ravens game, I was there. I was in attendance. He took over.
Took over.
Fourth and 2 slant to the house, gone, you know, game winner.
He told Eric Weddle, little boy, don't even try.
And you want to trade him. I mean, give me a break.
All right. Speaking of trade, let's get into everyone's new favorite segment, Pat Leonard's replies. Let's find a good tweet to pick out here. Reveal your sources, then. You've lost all credibility. Boycott the New York Daily News. Get a life. Captain Troll at it again. At this point, you're just trolling. Are these source people you just made up in your head? You're becoming a clown in New York, and everything you say, you keep losing credibility. Why are you the way that you are? Let's keep going. There's some better ones in here. You just want one of these fake Odell reports to be true so bad so you can't act like you broke something for once in your joke of a hack career. Of course, you skipped the part where we said, not shopping Odell, you're just a clown man. This means trade market is closed, woo. Odell wouldn't give me an autograph, and now I'm going to write mean things, Pat Leonard. And last but not least, the fact that you're an employed journalist is embarrassing. And that was Pat Leonard's replies. All right.
And he's still running with that.
Still. Unbelievable. All right. The JPP trade happened after our last episode.
Oh, wait. I felt like that was like months ago.
I know. You had to add. We both were like, wait, did we not talk about that last week? Because it literally, between all the Odell drama and everything, it felt like it's been forever ago.
Yeah, JPP trade.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, first off, right off the bat for me, it was very like, I mean, obviously, current JPP, you're happy about it because the production wasn't meeting the salary. But JPP has been through a lot with the Giants. He had a great run. He was a part of a really good Super Bowl team. He played a big part of it. I mean, I know Eli has been the guy, you know, the quarterback for that team, and we praise him a lot, and deservingly so. But what JPP did in that game, in that Dallas game, to help put us over the top was unbelievable. His playoffs were unbelievable. It's tough to see him go. With that said,
thank God that cap hit is off the books.
Yeah. I mean, you need – I know you won't see a lot this year, but we're talking 17 mil off the books next year.
No, so I think it's 19.5 next year and 17.5 the following.
Yeah, so it's 17 one year, 19 the other. And that's a lot of money.
Especially when you're likely going to have Eli off the books, which is why, and I don't get it. When people are all aboard the Davis Webb bandwagon or want Eli for 4 more years, they are so poised to become the Rams 2.0 or the Eagles 2.0 if they just take the best quarterback at number two, because they're going to have so much goddamn cap space to surround that quarterback with all the talent he needs to be successful in the NFL.
Yeah. And then obviously when news broke that he was traded, everyone started to assume the Giants would take Bradley Chubb at two. And I think he's very much in the conversation. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there's no chance, but not every decision the Giants make is going to impact the draft. They moved JPP because the contract was just overwhelming. They could not pay two defensive ends $17 million, $18 million yep. each. It just didn't make sense.
Especially when you're changing scheme.
Yeah, for a 3-13 team. And then the scheme thing, I know people say, well, the Cardinals went after JPP. Well, yeah, they did, but that role was filled by Chandler Jones. Well, the Chandler Jones role is going to be filled by Olivier Vernon. Yep. So there is sort of a scheme issue there. But listen, you know, they got a third round pick back. I believe they got a third and then they switched their sixth round pick fifth round pick
earlier, I think.
Yeah. They flip-flopped the fifth round picks with the Bucks, or was it the sixth? I got to go back and look.
All I know is that they have four picks within the first 70 in this draft.
Yeah, they do. So they got that extra third round pick. It will help them. And it could actually help them maneuver back into the first round if they take a quarterback at two and they want to take a lineman sort of late that they really like. So they could do some things with that extra third. Bittersweet to see JPP go, but, you know, this is the business side of it. He gets to be close to his family, and I think that's pretty cool. Happy for him. That stadium is where he played his college ball.
There you go.
At South Florida. So, you know, it was tough to see him go, but I mean, that's, you know, business is business.
All right, I got to go back to this real quick. Pat Leonard tweeted out, Giants GM Dave Gettleman refuses to commit to Odell Beckham Jr. being a Giant in the fall, given several ops to say he's not available via trade and only says he's on the team right now. Quote retweeted by Frank Isola, who deleted this tweet. I agree with John Mara when it comes to this guy. Giants won three Super Bowls without an all-world receiver, even one without the previous greatest thing ever, Jeremy Shockey. Time to move on. Yes, Frank, because Victor Cruz, Akeem Nix, and Plaxico Burress were total schlubs. You moron. Unreal. Unreal.
How quickly they... Well, listen, there's a lot...
The stupidity that gets harbored by the New York Daily News is mind-boggling. It really is.
And then you wonder why... Like, you have to understand, you know, Ethan, people think that Eli won the Super Bowl with absolutely no one at receiver.
Yeah. Not like Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix were second and 12th in yards and Plaxico wasn't an elite guy.
I mean, 1,536 yards for Victor Cruz, third in the NFL.
Dude, that team might have repeated if Plaxico didn't shoot himself.
In 08, yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
And if they properly identified their weaknesses in 2011 and fixed them, they had a good chance to, and that weakness was the offensive line. If they did that, they probably would have, you know, contended again in 13 and 14, but they didn't. People have to stop saying that you can't win in this league with a top tier receiver. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes no sense. All right, what else we got here? Anything else you want to talk about before we get into questions?
No, I feel like we've talked so much.
Yeah. All right, from Rob. I like Rob. Rob's a good follower. DRC is still out there. Do you think it's possible that the Giants and DRC come to terms reflecting the pay cut the DRC originally rejected and he rejoins the roster? No, I do not. I don't think, you know, I think if they weren't able to come to terms the first time, they're not going to be able to come to terms the second time. Dave Gettleman, not a fan of the aging veteran. And as much as I love DRC and wanted him to remain on the roster, I just don't think that happens.
Yeah, I don't see it. First of all, I think he is going to get signed eventually. And he is going
to
get
absolutely. Money. He's going to be a very big, a key part to any team, honestly.
Yeah, it's coming. I just think he's a veteran. He's weighing his options. I think I'm pretty sure he has a couple of offers on the table.
Yeah. Okay, here's a Odell trade proposal. If Jacksonville offered Fournette, Ramsey, and Miles Jack along with some picks, would you trade Odell? First of all, Jacksonville is never going to offer that. Second of all, it depends which picks.
Yeah, that's Wait, they said Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette,
and Miles Jack with picks.
So I mean, yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
those are three
franchise players.
That's like three or two top five picks, and yeah. One should have been top five pick.
Yeah,
like what? And yeah. Picks? Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
but that's no. That's a wild one.
Yeah, never gonna happen. Non-Giants related, but I sort of like this question. Bit of a wild question. This is from Matt, by the way. Bit of a wild question, but with all the recent media coverage on Johnny Manziel workout, what's the percentage he will get another shot and start an NFL game in the future? To be more specific, the media coverage of him throwing for different teams, specifically on Texas A&M Pro Day. I sort of like where Johnny's been going. I don't know if you've been following him on social media, but he seems to have sort of turned his mentality around. I haven't seen any of the coverage of his workouts. That's going to be the biggest thing. Like, can he throw? Does he still got it? Listen, wouldn't shock me if he's invited to a camp and has a chance to make a practice squad or become like a third string guy. I mean, it's not going to be with the Giants, but I wish the best for Johnny. I think I don't know if he'll start an NFL game in the future, but I'd be shocked if there was a team out there that didn't say, "Hey, fuck it, let's give him a chance."
Yeah, I think he could be signed. Yeah, but I don't know if they will. I think there's capable quarterback on the free agent market that should get signed or should get the attention before Johnny Manziel does, but it's another topic for another day.
Yeah. Shout out to Ashley, who asked if Reddit counted for Pat Leonard's replies. Someone on Reddit said, "Pat Leonard, you rat fuck." Yes, Ashley, that definitely counts. Who's your pick for the second and third rounds and why?
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. Let you go first.
Okay, so this is where it sort of gets a little tricky for me, because I'm a big proponent of using the first pick on a quarterback and then using the second pick on offensive line. I think if Will Hernandez is there in the second, I think that would be a great pick for the Giants. You can plug him in day one at right guard, and then you sort of have your future. You got Soldier at left tackle for the next 3 years probably. Then you've got Omame for 3 years at left guard, Brett Jones at center, Hernandez at right guard, and then you build up the offensive line from there. You get a new right tackle once Flowers is gone. You get a better left guard to replace Omame. So I'm a big fan of Hernandez as a second round pick. Third round, take a running back. Darius Juice might go late first, early second, so he's not going to be around, but maybe Rashad Penny.
I actually like Josh Sweat from Florida State.
Okay.
6'5 pass rusher. I think he'd be a great pick in the second round. I actually won't be surprised if he goes in round one. I know offensive line is being thrown out there. I actually think if they go quarterback in round one, there is a really good chance they might target a pass rusher in round two.
Yep.
Depending on how the board falls. But if you want to go a lineman in the second round, I'll give you a name, Brian O'Neill, the tackle from Pittsburgh. I think he could be an interesting guy. He's played left tackle at Pitt. Maybe he could be develop into the long-term solution at either tackle spots. We'll see. As far as running back, I think they could. Could I see a running back in round two? Yes, but I seem to think that a running back could come in like rounds three or four. It's such a deep class. I mean,
it's the thing, man. You can wait and get a really, really quality guy.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like Sonny Michel, and I like Sonny Michel.
Yep.
But I won't be surprised if he goes in round one.
Me neither.
I think it's tough to say right now because there's just so much that's happening at the top. That some of these guys that we're naming could even go in the back end of round one. But I would say, if I were gun to head right now, I go quarterback goes two, then they go Josh Sweat from Florida State if he's there at 34. And then in the third round, possibly a corner or a lineman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's makes sense to me. All right, that's pretty much it. To round off the episode, I didn't really prep you for this, so you know, if you, I can go first. So we're for Gotham, we're doing like a sports villain March Madness bracket. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite sports villains that you think should make the bracket?
Sports villains.
Yeah, sports villains. For me, you know, two hockey movies come to mind. Team Iceland in the Mighty Ducks. Definitely up there in my sports villain rankings. Same with the Hansen brothers. I think those are both great. We can even go fictional. White Goodman from Dodgeball, one of my favorite villains out there. I'm trying to think who else. Who else? We could. What about Caddyshack? Judge Smales. We could do Caddyshack a little bit.
Was it Billy Madison? Or no, Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. I was just about to say Shooter McGavin.
Yes, there you go.
He's got to be a one seed. I think the bracket's already set. I'm just rattling him off right off the top of my head.
Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid.
Yep. Ivan Drago.
Bob Sugar, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Come on.
There are a lot of villains.
Yes. Who's the guy from Varsity Blues? Oh, crap. Forgot his name.
Bud Kilmer.
There you go. Was that him? Yeah, I think it was something. Yeah, Bud. Yeah. My favorite villain, though, has got to be Ivan Drago, Rocky IV.
There it is.
That's my favorite. If I were to pick one, I'd say him.
There you go. All right. That's it. Make sure to vote in the bracket whenever it goes up. I'm sure I'll tweet it out. Anything else Giants related before we go? We doing like a random segment here? Anything on your mind?
No, how far are we from the draft? A month, right?
A month. Maybe a little less. When is it? It's April 26th?
Can't come here fast enough.
Dude, I need it to happen.
Yes. I got nothing else for you, man.
That's it. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss NYG Daily, the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. Every subscription helps. And that's it. We will speak to you guys next week. And Pat Leonard, you are a hack. Peace.